Hello, this is Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast which runs you through the biggest headlines, but in the simplest way and the most straightforward way. So there is absolutely no expectation that you have to be some sort of politics know-it-all in order to follow what I'm saying. Either way, if you're really up to date or if you haven't watched the news in ages, you will come away from this episode feeling really very informed. Isn't that lovely? So if that sounds good, please subscribe or click follow, just depending on what platform you're listening on. It just means you won't miss any episodes, and it also helps me a great deal. It helps people find me. I'm Julia Bell, and today we're going to talk you through Donald Trump's second impeachment. Not first impeachment, second impeachment. This is not his first rodeo. He has been through this before, and that actually makes him the very first president ever in the history of the existence of the United States of America to be impeached twice. In one term as well, by the way. He's only been in office for 4 years. So if this wasn't so utterly dreadful, it would actually be quite impressive. But if you're just sort of sitting there scratching your head and thinking, God, I don't even know what an impeachment is, and if you're wondering how this all came about and you want to understand the entire story, then stick around till the end of the episode and you'll understand all of it. Okay, first I just want to walk you through what an impeachment is. So, because just looking through lots of the questions I've had on Instagram, I feel like there's quite a lot of confusion about this. By the way, if you want to ask me anything for future episodes, you can do. It's all driven by you, and it really helps me understand what it is you want to know. So you can contact me on Instagram or Twitter. The handle's the same, @JuliaBell_X. But Sammy on Instagram asked, what is impeachment, and why didn't they manage to impeach Trump the first time? I'll take those questions one at a time. An impeachment of a president, because actually you can impeach a high-ranking official that's not the president. You can impeach like a judge or a governor or whatever. But impeachment of a president is where they are accused by the House of Representatives of some sort of misconduct in office. It can be anything, really. It can be lots of things. So the Constitution says that a president should be impeached for treason, bribery, or other crimes or misdemeanors. So there's an array of things that you can do wrong and get impeached. And like I say, the House of Representatives is the house that does the accusing. They're like our House of Commons in the UK. So the way it works is a committee within the House of Representatives will club together and kind of build a case against the president, outlining all the things that they think he's done wrong. And those headlines are called articles. So if, for example, the president's done lots of things wrong, then there'll be lots of articles for impeachment. And an article for impeachment might be, you know, you accepted a bribe. That's an article for impeachment. Or it might be you were under the influence in office. You were drunk in office. It could be a really vast array of things. And then when they've completed that and they've landed on the articles that they want to impeach the president for, they will present them to the House of Representatives and they'll all have a vote. And if a majority of them vote for it, then that's it. The president gets impeached. But the thing about this, and I think the thing that's causing quite a lot of people confusion, is that is not the end of the process. Once the House of Representatives votes to officially impeach the president, that actually just starts the process. That's step one. Think of the word impeached as a synonym for accused. That's better, because I think people think, oh, once you're impeached, you have to go. No, that's not the case. So that's step one, where he's been accused and the House of Representatives have signed a document to say you're impeached. What you need to get the president removed from office is step two, where the Senate come in. And the Senate are kind of like our House of Lords. It's not as easy a comparison because obviously the Senate is an elected body, whereas the House of Lords isn't. And I know that lots of people have like opinions about that, but that's a conversation for another day. But the Senate is like the House of Lords insofar as they are the upper chamber of Congress, and the House of Lords here is the upper chamber of Parliament. And the Senate are the ones, like I say, that decide to convict and remove a president if they want to. So that's step two, and that's the thing that would actually end up in Trump having to literally be kicked out of office. Does that make sense? So when you guys are asking, like, you know, how come if he's been impeached already, how come he didn't have to leave? It's because he was impeached, but he wasn't convicted. So just to give you a bit of detail around how step two works, basically the Senate holds a trial. It is a legit trial. And instead of having a judge and a jury, all the senators make those decisions. So they listen to the cases for and against the president, and then they have a vote, just like a jury would. They have a vote to decide whether to acquit the president, which is the term for let the president off. Don't worry, we don't buy this impeachment, get back to work, no one's coming after you. Or they can vote to convict the president. And that is a big deal. That would be the first time ever. No president has ever been convicted by the Senate. It's never gotten that far. And in that event, the president would be stripped of his powers. He'd be removed from office. And actually, it would open up for the Senate to have another vote for if they want to ban the president from ever running again. And yeah, like I say, it's never happened before. But if slash when it does happen to the very first president, it'll be a really shit thing for them because they'll go down in history for probably the worst thing ever. Is there anything more embarrassing than being voted into an office and then being stripped away from it? And one reason I think that it's never happened is because it's just hard to do. You need 2/3 of the Senate to vote to convict a president. 2/3. And since you generally have quite an even split between the Republicans and the Democrats in the Senate, it is just quite hard to get 2/3 of them to agree with each other and to vote the same way. Especially in this case, in 2021, because the Senate, as it stands, is completely evenly split, 50-50, Republicans and Democrats. So Trump would need members of his own party to convict him. And as you know by now, party politics in America is so tribal. Like if one single senator or one single member of the House of Representatives votes against what their party wants them to do, it's like declaring war, you know, and people have been asked to stand down from things and people have been called traitors just for voting how they think best, even if it strays away from their party. So it's so tribal. Which is a bit rich because senators are meant to take an oath of impartiality in front of these conviction trials. But it's just not like that in reality. It's American politics. So it's always going to be tribal. It's always going to be political, more so than it is going to be logical, frankly. So there you have it. That's impeachment. It's step one in convicting and ultimately removing a president from office. But just circling back to your question, Sami, you asked me firstly, what is impeachment? I think we've covered that. But then you said, what happened last time? How come they didn't manage last time? Well, they did. Trump was impeached by the House of Representatives, first off in December 2019, for his first rodeo, if you will. But so that bit was successful, unsurprisingly, because the House of Representatives, who does the impeaching, they were a Democrat majority. So they're always going to vote against Trump. But in 2019, when that happened, they needed the Senate to actually follow through and to convict Trump, which did not happen. The Senate was a Republican majority at that time, so getting 2/3 of them to convict Trump was absolutely out of the question. So that impeachment kind of faded away. I remember, actually, at the time, Mitt Romney... Do you remember him? He's the Mormon senator from Utah. He ran against Barack Obama in 2012. He really, really doesn't like Trump. They have this real rivalry going on. And he was the only Republican senator to break ranks, as they would say. And he voted to convict Trump in his first Senate trial. And that just entrenched this bitter, nasty rivalry between Romney and Trump. Because now they sort of represent the opposing sides of the Republican Party. There you go. There's another name on Donald Trump's ever-growing list of archenemies. By the way, if you're wondering what that first impeachment was about, just before we move on to talk about this one. So the articles of impeachment put forward by the House of Representatives were abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. That was what he was accused of doing. And it was all about, you probably caught this story, it was when Trump was accused of pressuring, this ridiculous situation, President Trump was accused of pressuring Ukraine and the Ukrainian leaders to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. And not just Joe Biden, and on his son, Hunter Biden, who had worked for a Ukrainian company back when Joe Biden was vice president under Obama. So Trump was caught out calling the Ukrainian president on the phone and trying to barter with him so that he could get dirt on Biden so that he could like use it in the presidential race. I'm talking serious bartering here, by the way, like dangling hundreds of millions of dollars in front of him because the Congress had already voted to allocate, I think it was $400 million of military aid to the Ukraine. They'd already voted to do that. And Donald Trump yanked it and went, nah, I'm not going to send that to you unless you do what I want you to do. You know, I'm not going to give you this military aid that's already been greenlit by the Congress until you dig up some dirt on my political opponent. talk about abuse of power. So that's what the House of Representatives at the time tried to impeach him for. But as I say, the Senate didn't let it happen. Anyway, let's talk much more importantly now about this impeachment and what's going on with that. Okay, so for the second time now, the House of Representatives have voted in a majority to impeach President Trump. The wheels are in motion, and this time the articles for impeachment, so the grounds for impeaching him, are for incitement of insurrection. So last time we had abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, this time incitement of insurrection, which is a fancy term for saying Trump encouraged the public to have a violent uprising against the government. And that's obviously in reference to the Capitol Hill riots that took place on January 6th.
Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. That Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our country, and that once again, we honored our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help us God. And now, I sadly, and with a heart broken over what this means to our country, of a president who would incite insurrection, will sign the engrossment of the article of impeachment.
There we go. That was Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi calling Trump a clear and present danger to America. I mean, my God, imagine calling the president a danger to the country that he's meant to preside over. This is a serious impeachment. And she made that speech at the time where she signed the article of impeachment, and there's pictures of her sort of holding it up for the camera, this big fancy looking document with her signature on it. And she really, Nancy Pelosi, has been the reigning queen supreme of the Democrat movement to try and get rid of Donald Trump. But let's give you some context around this this article of incitement of insurrection. So you've definitely seen by now, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of pictures and videos of what went down at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of January, where a crowd of people, many of whom were armed, stormed through the doors and smashed through the windows at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., which is the equivalent, by the way, of our Houses of Parliament in London, which is absolutely crazy. Imagine turning on the TV and seeing mobs of people smashing the windows and ramming the doors at Westminster, and hearing stories about security guards screaming at MPs, telling them to hide under desks and lock themselves in offices. That's what was happening at the Capitol on the 6th of January. It was like something out of a film, but like in the worst possible way. And I think I referenced it in the last episode of the podcast, but I'll say it again. No crowd like that has ever sieged the Capitol building in America since the British attacked it in 1814. That's how unheard of this is. It is a direct attack on the government and on democracy as a whole. And of course, now, you know, now that it's been sort of a week or just over, since it happened, we've seen that five people died in the process, four members of the crowd who stormed in, and one police officer whose name was Brian Sicknick. He was a 42-year-old who died in hospital after he was hit on the head with a fire extinguisher at the site. So the committee in the House of Representatives who put together this sort of impeachment article, they looked at this event and they asked, you know, how did this come to pass? Where did this crowd come from and why did this happen? And the thing is, earlier that day, a huge crowd of Trump supporters had gathered for a rally that was very much planned by Trump himself and his people. And it was called the Save America Rally. And it was where Trump and various members of his family and his sort of colleagues addressed the crowds right down the road from where Joe Biden was being confirmed as the election victor in the Capitol building. So in Washington, D.C., literally down the road from where Joe Biden was being confirmed, Trump held this Save America rally. Very important to note that name, Save America. And the timing of it was paramount because Trump is up there on stage saying to this very upset crowd, the election's been stolen from me, Biden cheated, And today, all the lawmakers in the Capitol building are going to officially confirm this con man, Joe Biden, as the next president. Are you going to let that happen? We have to stop it.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. Our country has had enough. We will not take it anymore. And that's what this is all about. And to use a favorite term that all of you people really came up with, we will stop the steal.
There you go. Stop the steal. Stop the steal. That was the slogan of the day. And you can sort of read into it how you like. Is it just a sentiment or is it a direct command? And he did talk about, right, we're going to march down there. We're going to fight. We can't concede. We're never going to concede. In fact, Rudy Giuliani was the king of fighting talk that day. He's, by the way, he's a big character in the Republican Party, ex-New York mayor, but he's been like number one Trump supporter this whole time. But he got on stage and he said some scarily aggressive stuff, which is arguably even more incriminating.
Over the next 10 days, we get to see the machines that are crooked, the ballots that are fraudulent, and if we're wrong, we will be made fools of. But if we're right, a lot of them will go to jail. So, let's have trial by combat.
Trial by combat. Well, firstly, what century is this guy living in? And I know that he'll say that it was just meant as a metaphor or whatever, but it is hard to read that any other way than let's fight physically over this thing. And I'm trying to look at this with a sort of like a neutral mindset, because had he just said that to a crowd of Trump supporters who are very upset, you know, a lot of them genuinely believe that they have been robbed of an election, they've been cheated out of a result, if he'd said that to them, then they'd just all gone home. People might have looked on those words differently. But now we have the hindsight of seeing how that day panned out. You know, he said, let's have a trial by combat to a crowd of people, literally hours before many of those members of the crowd, plus a whole bunch more pro-Trump supporters, stormed into the Capitol building while Joe Biden is supposed to be being confirmed as the winner of the election. And they're chanting, stop the steal and fight for Trump. So that's why I think you've got a lot of Democrats, and to be frank, quite a lot of Republicans at this point, looking at that Save America rally and saying, look, there's your incitement of insurrection. That's where it came from. Now, as far as Trump is concerned, he absolutely stands by what he said at that Save America rally. He takes nothing back and he does not accept that it could have led to any sort of violence.
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said. But they've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate. Okay, thank you.
So there you go, totally appropriate. That was his description of it. But another thing that the House of Representatives found really problematic was Trump's unwillingness to condemn the rioters once the whole thing had spiraled out of control. Because saying those things at a rally, which at the time was free from violence, is one thing. But then showing a real unwillingness to condemn the violence once it's happening is another thing altogether, isn't it? And you probably saw it once the Capitol Hill riots had completely escalated. For hours, I'm talking, Trump finally put out a video on his social media and people were expecting him to condemn them, but it didn't. It kind of complimented them. It was really weird. It complimented them, but then it gave them a bit of a slap on the wrist.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election. and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
So yeah, that was this really weird video that Trump put out during the riot, sort of saying that he loved these people. He knew how they felt. Really odd to say that to violent people who have stormed the crux of democracy. But then he sort of goes on to say, but you've got to go home in peace. So he's saying, that's me. That is me condemning them. But then his critics are saying, well, not really, because you told them that you loved them. But yeah, Trump's not budging on that issue. And Joe Biden takes, as you can imagine, a completely opposite stance. President-elect Joe Biden, I should say. These were his thoughts on it.
What we witnessed yesterday was not dissent. It was not disorder. It was not protest. It was chaos. They weren't protesters. Don't dare call them protesters. They were a riotous mob, insurrectionists, domestic terrorists. It's that basic, it's that simple. And I wish we could say we couldn't see it coming. But that isn't true. We could see it coming. The past 4 years, we've had a president who's made his contempt for our democracy, our Constitution, the rule of law clear in everything he has done. He unleashed an all-out assault on our institutions of our democracy from the outset. And yesterday was but the culmination of that unrelenting attack.
So there you go. That was Joe Biden there. Very clear that he thinks Trump was responsible for the Capitol Hill riots. And, you know, don't you dare call them protesters. These are domestic terrorists. Very, very different sentiments from the two politicians there. Unleashed an all-out assault on our democracy was another quote from that speech. So, as is standard, the two men are completely opposing. But it doesn't actually matter really what they think. It's not in their hands anymore. It's in the hands of the Senate to acquit or to convict Donald J. Trump. And that's where we are now. The House of Representatives have voted to impeach Trump. The vote was 232 to 197. A few people opted out of voting altogether. They were all Republicans who opted out. And now we wait for the trial in the Senate, which will actually end up happening after Trump has left office and Biden is inaugurated on the 20th of January, which is quite odd. I actually had a question from Charlotte on Instagram, and she was asking, can Trump be convicted after his term ends? So the answer to that is, yeah, I guess so, because the trial won't be happening until he's left the White House. I mean, in his first impeachment, it was months between his initial impeachment in the House and his trial in the Senate, well, his ultimate acquittal in the Senate. I think it was like 2 months or a month and a half. So the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, has said there's just no way we can do this in such a short time frame. But you know what you're looking out for now. In order to get Trump convicted and removed from office, 2/3 of the Senate, i.e. 67 of the 100 senators, need to vote to convict him. And that means 17 Republicans at least would need to vote. Well, they need to break ranks and vote in line with the Democrats to get Trump convicted. It's never been done, like I say. So it would just be such a big day if that were to happen. Quite a lot of you are asking my opinion. Do I think Trump is going to get convicted? I hate making predictions because I'm always wrong. I was wrong about Brexit. I was wrong about Trump's first election. But I'm going to go ahead and say no, I don't think they will. I don't think enough Republicans will come forward and do it. I said last time in Donald Trump's first impeachment that the only Republican to break ranks was Mitt Romney. I think more will break ranks this time, just because there has been a bit of a shift. We saw it in the House of Representatives, that loyalty to Trump amongst Republicans is dying because he's just so toxic. I mean, the second impeachment in 4 years, this is not good. So even actually most notably, Liz Cheney, who is the daughter of Dick Cheney, who was George W. Bush's vice president. So to have the daughter of an ex-Republican vice president come forward and say, I want to remove this Republican president, that is huge. That is a rift in the party, if ever there was one. And actually, she went a step further. She wrote a statement to kind of explain her reasonings, and it just went all out bashing Donald Trump. It said that he, this is a quote, he summoned the mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of the attack. And then that same statement went on to say, there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. So yeah, you better add Liz Cheney to that list of people that Trump absolutely hates. But, you know, the Liz Cheney thing, she's a member of the House of Representatives. So that is separate. Are we going to see senators breaking ranks to convict Trump in this trial? I did see that the New York Times, they wrote a thing about Senate leader Mitch McConnell, who until now has been the ultimate Trump henchman. You know, he is the ultimate Republican. He would never not back Trump through the good, the bad and the ugly. But apparently he started to have a slight change of heart because the quote was that he was pleased. He was pleased about Trump being impeached. So again, I wonder if Mitch McConnell is one of these Republicans that's thinking, do you know what, should we just distance ourselves from this guy because he's causing us too much trouble? Anyway, there you go. That's my viewpoint on it. Probably some Republicans will break ranks. Will we see 17 actually bite the bullet and do it? I don't know. It's really not fun to be, you know, in the eye of the storm of hatred from Trump supporters. Liz Cheney is feeling that right now. Are we going to see 17 Republican senators do it? I don't think so. But please don't come back to bite me if I'm wrong, because American politics is making history every single day. I am never able to guess anything anymore. Right, this is one hell of an episode. I feel like I'm throwing a lot of information at you, but I've got a couple more really, really good questions to get through and to answer, and then I feel like you're going to have an unbelievably full picture. So M on Instagram has sent in a message. She said, can impeachments end up in legal charges or even prison? It's a great question because I think it's confusing when people see the word convict. You know, the Senate gets to vote to convict, and people think, oh, does that mean that the president goes to jail? No, it just means the president is removed from office. That's what that word means in that context. But can Donald Trump, you know, will he run the risk of ending up in prison? And the simple answer is yes. If a president is impeached and then convicted, it does open them up to standard criminal prosecution. So basically it says, you're not special anymore, hun. Like, you're absolutely entitled to be prosecuted in exactly the same way that any other Tom, Dick and Harry would. And that actually links me, just talking about prison, which I will talk about in more depth, it links me to the last question that I'll cover, which is from Lucy on Instagram, who asked, can Trump pardon himself to avoid convictions? And will he pardon his family as well? Yeah, so this is an interesting perk of being president. You can grant a pardon to any individual at any point, including if they're literally being charged for the crime there and then. You can just pardon them at the last minute. And it says, right, you know, I'm yanking you out of this issue. You no longer have to face the consequences, even if you've done the thing. Or if there's someone that hasn't yet been charged for a crime, but they might one day, the president can pardon them in advance. So it is quite a power. It's just basically like, here's a nice blanket of immunity from the law to that person. But this issue of pardoning himself is something that I studied American politics extensively at university. I've never looked into this because nobody's ever done this. Of course they haven't. Imagine a president pardoning themselves. It doesn't even make sense. Like, the whole American system is set up for people to be accountable to the public and for nobody to become a dictator and to have separate, you know, allowances for themselves more than anyone else. And a president pardoning themselves would be completely undermining that. So I've never looked into it before, but for you, Lucy, I have. And basically, in the Constitution, it says that a president cannot pardon people against being impeached, which presumably means he can't pardon himself from being impeached. So say there's like a governor in another state and he's under the process of being impeached, a president couldn't pardon them. That's in the Constitution. So I guess he can't pardon himself out of this impeachment. It is happening. The trial is going ahead, whether Trump likes it or not. But the Constitution does not say anything about whether a president can pardon themselves for other stuff. It just doesn't mention it. And I really think that's because the founding fathers who put this thing together just did not predict in a million years that there would ever be a president like Donald J. Trump who would look to do that. So this now means, because of its absence in the Constitution, it now means it's open to a debate, which again I think is absurd. Why are we debating this concept? Of course a president can't pardon themselves, for God's sake, but it's a debate because they're sticklers for the Constitution in America. They want to live by every word of it. So knowing that, Trump is reportedly asking a lot of his legal aides, can I pardon myself so that nobody charges me for that in the future? And to be honest, I still wasn't satisfied with the information that I found on this. So I looked into how far a pardon can actually go. And even if Trump pardoned himself and the Supreme Court did not step in and say, no, my hun, you can't just pardon yourself. Even if he got away with doing that, he actually still wouldn't be completely immune from going to jail, because presidential pardons only protect you from national crimes, or they call it federal crimes. So they don't protect you from individual states. If they want to charge you with something, they can, even if you've had a presidential pardon. So, for example, Trump is in a little bit of trouble about his taxes, or supposedly unpaid taxes. So if the state of New York wanted to go after him for that, in theory, there's no saying that he couldn't end up in jail, even if he manages to pardon himself, because that is a state conviction rather than a federal one. It is such an interesting debate, though. Trump is constantly, if nothing else, you've got to give him this, he is constantly pushing and stretching the Constitution. He's forcing the people that know it back to front to get back in the library and study it with a magnifying glass, because he's constantly doing things that no president has ever done before. And he's forcing people to go, right, what is the law on that? Oh, nobody's done it before. Right, we need to set a precedent now. I'm digressing massively. Lucy, you also asked me about whether he will pardon his family, whether Trump will pardon his family. Yeah, I would be very surprised if he doesn't do that, because, like I say, he's been issuing pardons to a lot of his aides and his colleagues and what have you. And definitely the likes of his daughter, Ivanka Trump, and his sons, Don Jr. and Eric, probably Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, because they've all worked under Trump in various sort of roles within the executive. And Trump will probably say, look, I'm doing this to protect them from the Democrats who are conducting a witch hunt. That's what he's calling this, a witch hunt. But I really also think it will be a necessary thing to stop them from getting into serious trouble, because who knows what they could be prosecuted for when this is all over, because a lot of dirt will be dug up on the kind of things that they've done under Donald Trump. So I would be surprised if that didn't happen. All right, I'm so tired. I think that's the most tired I've ever felt after doing a podcast. I hope that was helpful. I know usually I kind of include an interview, but there was just so much to get through. I just wanted to get you there. So I reckon now you're nice and equipped to handle the next few weeks of news. I'll be back, of course. You know I love talking about American politics. If anything else happens, I'll be here. And make sure you follow me on social media at @JuliaBell_X. And message me with any questions. If you do want to keep this podcast going, if you find it really helpful and you want to ensure that I can carry on doing it, the best thing you can do is become a patron. The link, as always, is in the episode description. Just click it, and all you do is essentially buy me a coffee, and that helps me to keep it going. It also gives you exclusive access to opinion pieces and updates, and I do little chit-chats with, you know, various people in media and what have you. So it's a great place to be. It's a nice community, but it also does just allow me to carry this on. So check that out. I thank you in advance. And that's all. I'm going to let you live your lives now. Thank you for listening. I'll speak to you in the next one. Okay, bye.